Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and hope you're having a great week. I'm so glad to join you in my favorite part of the afternoon. And wow, do we have a guest who is going to give you some encouragement, who is going to lift your spirit, lift your soul, and just give us all that little bit of positive news that we need and encouragement in a world where we feel like things are just spinning out of control. Well, we know that we serve a God who is in control. My guest today is Sharon Janes. Now, she's been on the show before. If you missed her first episode, go back to March the 12th, and you won't want to miss that episode. March 12th, you can find it at AFR.net or on the AFR app or on any podcast app, and you can hear her first episode with us. But today, she has a new book releasing, and we're going to talk about that book today. It's Mama Moments with God, a 90-day devotional. Now, Sharon is an international speaker. She's a best-selling author of 26 books, and she is a powerful voice in the global faith community. She is formerly the vice president of Proverbs 31 Ministries and co-host of their radio program, and she knows the topics that are important to Christian women of all ages. Now, we're talking to mamas today, but if that is not you, if you're not a mama, if you're a dad, or just in another phase or stage of life that is not you, you know a mama because you have a mama. And if you're living and breathing, so listen in, and we would love for you to be able to encourage the moms who are in your life. And we'll be talking about this devotional today and just giving you some encouragement straight from the heart of Sharon for the words that God has given to her. So Sharon, we're so glad to have you back on the show. Thank you so much for spending time with us this afternoon.
Jessica, thank you for having me back.
Well, I would just love, I had told you that, you know, when you were on the show before, you talked a little bit about your story, your testimony growing up. And but, you know, we had a lot of things to talk about. And you said, that's a story for another time. And I had asked you, can today be another time? And can we go back to that? And would you share with our listeners just some of your amazing story and what gave you the perspective and the journey that God has had you on to be such an encouragement to the heart of so many?
Hey, and if you're not a mama, this is something you need to hear. Let me tell you, God has done some miraculous things in my life. And it started out pretty rough childhood. I grew up in the south of North Carolina. Lived in a very nice neighborhood. My dad, worked at a builder supply company as part owner of that. My mom, she had her little shop called Bee and Beetle, and she taught painting classes, and we looked like a typical American family. I had an older brother and a collie dog, of course, named Lassie. In the spring, we had azaleas that bloomed, beautiful pine trees, and we looked good on the outside. Let me just put it that way. But on the inside of our home, there was a lot of strife and turmoil, and my father had a terrible drinking problem, and Jessica, when he drank, he would get drunk, and then he would just be very violent. He would tear things up in my home, and my parents fought physically and verbally in front of us, and I saw things that a little girl should never see and heard words that a little girl should never hear, and honestly, I didn't know what some of those words meant, but I knew how they made me feel inside. And I can remember going to bed at night and pulling up the covers and just praying I could hurry up and go to sleep so I could shut out the noise of the violence that was going on in the room beside me. I grew up feeling like nobody cared about me. There was just something wrong with me. And when I would go to school after a day of hearing all that violence and waking up to broken things in my home, I remember sitting in class and thinking that nobody has a home like mine, and just feeling such shame, even though I hadn't done anything wrong. But every morning after one of those fights, it would be the same. I would walk into the kitchen. My dad would be at the kitchen table. He would be crying and saying, I'm so sorry. It'll never happen again. It'll never happen again. But it always happened again. And it was kind of a cycle in my home where he would be repentant And then I could just feel it building back up again. It was like I lived on an earthquake fault line, never knowing when that big one was going to hit. But I could always feel the trembling when it was about ready to hit. It was a very difficult place to be raised. And my mom, well, she just had a lot of passive-aggressive behavior after one of those struggles. And, you know, I'm sure she tried the best she could, but honestly, my parents had no idea how to be parents. And I always say this, Jessica, that, you know, our stories are not standalone volumes. They had struggles in their own childhood. They were raised in one of the poorest counties in North Carolina. They got married right out of high school, had no idea how to raise a family. My mom was a middle child of 12. My father's father died when he was 5. I mean, that's a lot of struggle right there, bringing into a marriage. But then they got married and tried to have a family and had no idea how to do it. But the good news is, and don't you love the word, but God, two of my favorite words in the Bible,
yes,
by the way. But God didn't leave me that way. When I was 12 years old, I started befriending a little girl in my neighborhood who lived on the next block, and her name was Wanda, and I loved her mom. Her name was Mrs. Henderson. They both had red hair, and I loved being at the Henderson's home because there was so much joy there. They were just happy, and I loved how Mr. Henderson interacted with his daughters, and every little girl wants a daddy who loves them. Now, listen, I was terrified of my own father, but I still wanted a daddy who loved me. And Mrs. Henderson began to tell me about a heavenly father who did. And I loved watching how the two of them would interact. They would hug and kiss in front of each other. And I'd never seen happily married people before. So that was something new for me, too. But I thought Mrs. Henderson was a little odd because, Jessica, she talked about Jesus like she knew him personally. And that was strange for me. Because, you see, my family, as bad as we were, we went to church on Sunday. We walked in that church. People said, how are you? And we said, of course, what everyone says in church, it seems like. And we would say, fine, but we were not fine. But I started spending the night with them on Saturdays, and then I would go to church with them on Sunday. And I saw a whole group of people that talked about Jesus like they knew him personally. And I wanted what they had. Well, she took me under her wing and mentored me for about 2 years, and still is a friend today. She's in her 90s, but she eventually she started a Bible study for teenagers in the neighborhood. And when I was 14, I was spending the night at their house one night. She asked me if I was ready to accept Jesus and as my Savior, and I told her that I was ready, and it was a great evening. However, I had to go back home. But now I was praying for my mom. My little group of teenage friends were praying for my mom and my dad. And 3 years later, when I was going into my senior year in high school, I had an opportunity to go out the country for the summer. And I was afraid to go because I thought, who's going to take care of my parents? Because at that point in my life, I was the parent, and I was the one that was breaking up the fights. And I thought, if I leave, they're going to kill each other, literally. But my group of friends, listen, 17-year-old girls on fire for Jesus, it was a sight to behold. They prayed over my house. They prayed over me. They said, we think you should leave. You think you should go. The night before, we marched around my house praying over my family and to protect them while I was gone. And while I was gone, my dad came home drunk. And I told my mom, I'm not going to be here to help you. She ran down to Mrs. Henderson's house, and she gave her life to Jesus that night.
Oh my goodness.
Came back home and listened. Jessica, I would never tell anyone to stay with an abusive man, but my mom told my father she was going to forgive him for everything he'd done. And there were affairs, there was alcohol, there was gambling. And what happened with my father is such an amazing story. Maybe we should take a break and let me come back and tell you what happened with him.
I definitely want to hear. I have goosebumps all over, Sharon, because, you know, we just need to hear stories like this, because I think there's a lot of people who grew up like you did and some degree like I did. And you look around and you just think, oh, my goodness, is there any hope in this situation? You know, how am I going to be different? And how can you come from that and then have the platform like you do and the ministry that you do? And it's just exactly like you said, Sharon, but God. Those are my favorite words in the Bible, too. And in fact, when I wrote my book, Behind Closed Doors, I put a what I call the but God Easter egg in every chapter, because that is the story of my life. You know, there for the grace of God, but God. God. Like, honestly, but mm-hmm. God just intervened in our life. And I think it's important to hear that there's always hope, even in circumstances that sound as dire as it is. So I'm just going to have you pick it right back up, Sharon, and don't leave us hanging and tell us what happened.
Okay. You know, when you say, how do we have this ministry, this platform with how we were raised, it's because of that, that we have a ministry and a platform.
That's right.
Because we have decided that we're going to use it for good. And listen, when you use it for good, Satan can't use it against you any longer. No more shame. And it's total forgiveness. And it's just a beautiful thing. Okay, well, let's get back to my dad. So my mom came home, said she was going to forgive my dad. I came home that end of that summer to a different family. This was before there were cell phones. I got letters from people telling me your parents are going to the Bible teaching church and they're holding hands. And I'm like, what am I going to walk into? So my mom told me her story and my father said, I am going to go to church with you, but I could never become a Christian because there's too many things I've done in my life. God could never forgive a man like me. And of course, I told him exactly what you would tell him. You know, Dad, none of us could be good enough. If it could be good enough, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross. But he couldn't understand that kind of grace. So we continued to pray. Now my mom's with Christian Ladies, and they're praying for him. And about 3 years after that, after my mom came to Christ, 6 years after me, my dad was on the verge of a nervous breakdown, and he was getting ready to be sued in our small town. He had broken a competitive contract with another building company, going to be taken to court and exposed for God only knew what, literally, because there's a lot that he had done. He came home from work one day trying to find my mom. Then he remembered she's not here. She's gone to a craft show convention in Pennsylvania. So he got in his car.
Goodness.
He drove from North Carolina to Pennsylvania to try to find her. He could not find her. He drove by a Catholic church. I don't know why he stopped at the Catholic church, probably because there was a steeple. And he went in, he said, I need someone to pray for me. Is the priest here? And the secretary, bless her sweetheart, she said, the priest is not here, but I know a Baptist pastor who is out in the woods building his church. I mean, hammer and nail building. So she drew him a little map on a scratch piece of paper. My dad got in the car, followed that little map, went to this man who was literally with a hammer in his hand and Jesus in his heart. And he said, I need you to pray for me. So the man said, Alan, sit down on this log and tell me your story. Tell me what you need me to pray for you about. And the way my dad explained it to me, Jessica, he said, everything that I had done in my life, this man had done in his. And I knew that if God could forgive him and he could be a preacher, then he could forgive me. So my dad gave his life to the Lord that day in Pennsylvania with a man I'll never know. And he became one of the sweetest men. I mean, he was just so precious. And just this beautiful example of how important our stories are. And that is why it's important that you tell your story. And that's why you do it. That's why I do it, because there's somebody that needs to hear it. And I think of that verse in Revelation where it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
Testimony.
So, you know, I think, you know, were there men in my church back home that had struggled with things my father had? Absolutely. I'm sure there were. But nobody was willing to admit it and tell their stories. And it's the same way, you know, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead and he went before his disciples that first time. Remember, they didn't know who he was until what? Until he showed his scars.
Mm-hmm.
Once they saw his scars, they knew it was him. And one day I was reading that, and it's as if God was saying to me, and that's still how people know Jesus today, when you're not ashamed to share your scars, when you're not ashamed to share your story. And that's how my father came to Christ, through a man in Pennsylvania who wasn't ashamed of what had happened in his life. And Jesus, my father saw Jesus in this man. So God did a miraculous thing, you know, in 6 years. And it all started with a mama in my neighborhood. And I say, you know, I came to Christ through a praying mother. It just wasn't my mother. But that's why mothers are so important.
Well, Sharon, that's exactly what we're going to talk about when we come back, because I see so many mamas. I see you in this story. I see just so your mom even in this story. And I can't get that Baptist preacher out of my head with a hammer in his hand and Jesus in his heart. But we're going to talk all about mamas when we come back with Sharon Janes. Don't go away. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Welcome back, friends. Well, I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know if you're in a season of calm or if you're in a storm or you've been in a storm. That song was Praise You in This Storm by Casting Crowns. And we have just heard our guest today, Sharon Janes, do that exact same thing. She described the stormy times that marked her childhood and how she praised God. And God met her in that storm. And he has brought her on the other side to tell the tale. Sharon is an international speaker, best-selling author, 26 books, including Praying for Your Child from Head to Toe, which we talked about back in March on March 12th. Catch that show. She loves engaging with readers on her blog and weekly devotions. Goes out to over 80,000 members. You can find her at SharonJanes.com. And today we're talking about her brand new book that is releasing. I cannot wait to read this book and take this 90-day devotional journey with you, Sharon. It's Mama Moments with God. And let's just start off. You just told me, and I know from reading the book, that you have a great devotional that goes along with that song, Praise You in the Storm. Sharon, tell us about your heart for this particular devotional that you've written and give us a preview of that, of how we can praise God in the storm that we're in.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Actually, there are two devotions about the storm, two different times in Scripture where we read about Jesus calming the storm. And one, actually, I was teaching a four-year-old Sunday school class. Now, don't you love four-year-olds? They're just the best.
And, I was teaching,
and I was trying to get them nervous about the disciples in the boat. You know, Jesus is in the boat with them, and there's this big storm coming. And I was telling them how high the waves were, and the thunder was so loud, and it was raining so hard. And I said, now, if you were in a little boat like this in a big storm, would you be afraid? And then one little girl said, well, not if Jesus was in the boat with me. And I thought, what a precious story. So that is a precious devotion there. But the one that really strikes me as I'm here listening to the words of that song that we just listened to is just the gift of struggle. That praising God in the storm, because as Romans 5:3-4 says, we glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, hope. And honestly, Jessica, I don't like storms. I don't like to struggle. I don't like to see my child struggle. I don't like to be easy. I want all my friends to have an easy time. I want my husband to agree with every decision I make, God to say yes to every prayer. We don't like to struggle. But you know what? If we had a life like that, we would be such weak Christians. And I remember reading in Matthew where Jesus walked on the water because of the storm. And see, Jesus was off praying. The disciples were in the boat, and the storm came. Jesus saw his disciples struggling. when he was on the mountain. He could have very easily said, peace be still, from where he was. But he allowed them to struggle in that storm. And as he walked to the boat and got up there to the boat, and he did calm the storm, they said they knew that this was God. They knew that he was God. And isn't that the conclusion we want all of our struggles to bring us to, that we know that Jesus is our master. He's the master of all storms in our lives and in the world, period. They said when he calmed it, truly, you are the Son of God. That's the conclusion we want to come to. That's the conclusion we want our children to come to when they're struggling as well. You know, I love going back through the Bible and thinking about writing these devotions and seeing just how much Jesus cared for mothers. And I think that I didn't really notice that until I started pulling it all together and putting it in this devotion book. Hey, you remember when Jesus walked into town, he went through the gates, and there was a funeral procession coming out of the gates. Mm-hmm. He's going in, funeral procession coming out, and it was a widow, which that's bad enough that she was a widow, but then the unthinkable happened, and her only son died. And Jesus is standing there watching this happen. Listen, this mama didn't say anything to him. She had no sign of faith. But Jesus, because he cares about mothers and he cares about a woman's tears, he just walked up to her and said, don't cry. And then we know that he went over to the coffin and he just said, young man, I tell you, get up. And he raised the boy from the dead. And then he went about his business. But isn't that precious that here Jesus is? A woman's just crossing paths with him. And he cares so much about her that he stops everything. And I want moms to know that he's walking along the path with you. And he sees what you're going through. He sees what we're going through. And I love that story that he just kind of stopped what he was doing and observed her tears and then took care of her problem. And it happened again with the Syrophoenician woman. Remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
When he and his disciples, that he went into Cana and he met this, some call her Canaanite, but some versions call her the Syrophoenician woman. And he goes into town, and this woman, this mother, again, it's a mother. There's no mention of her husband. This mother goes and falls at Jesus' feet. And now this is not one of the chosen. This is not, you know, one of the Israelites. This is a Canaanite woman. She goes and falls at his feet and just says, Father, Lord, have mercy, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter's possessed by a demon. And then there's some unusual conversation that goes on right here that really can trip us up if we let it. He would say, woman of God, didn't really send me to you, sent me to the lost people of Israel. But she was persistent. She kept coming back and back and back and said, you know, even the dogs get the food under a master's table. And then he said, dear woman, your faith is great. And he healed that woman. I think that conversation was more to test her faith and for this to be an example for his disciples who were listening. But he healed the girl. She was great. And I love how the message paraphrases this. He said, oh, woman, your faith is something else. Don't you love that? Your faith is something else. But I want him to say that about me. But the cool thing is, I mean, there's a lot of cool things about the story. But he went to the Syrophoenician area. He did this one miracle for this one mother, and then he left. So here's the question. Would he go through all that trouble just for one hurting mother? Well, I think the answer is yes, because he did that for her, and then he left. There's no other mention of anything else he did in that area, and then he went somewhere else. So I think that those two stories right there, and there's so many more, those two stories just so show us how much that Jesus has a heart for moms.
That is so beautiful. And, you know, you said Jesus cares about mothers and he cares about the tears that they cry. And, you know, in talking about those Bible stories, Sharon, it makes me think about Jesus even being on the cross and being concerned mm-hmm. about the welfare of his mother and looking to John, the beloved disciple, and saying, woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother, and making sure that she was taken care of. And, you know, I think moms, one thing that we do really, really well, Sharon, is we beat ourselves up. I mean, we put mm-hmm. ourselves sometimes, I think, in our own storms. I mean, sometimes there are things that we cannot control, but sometimes things may even be going relatively okay, and yet we will find something that we will criticize ourselves about, and we will lay awake at night and think, am I messing up my kids for life? You know, did I say too much? Did I say too little? And, you know, some of this, I think, is a little bit generational, because I think back to my grandmother and my mom's generation, and I mean, when the summer came, it was go outside and do not come back in until the streetlight comes on. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you're doing. I mean, Sharon, I'm honest. Like, we scrounged up quarters from the gutter and we went and bought candy cigarettes at the corner gas station. I mean, that's what we did. And my mother never asked. But, you know, I'm sitting here like thinking, oh, do I have the bento box? Is this organic? Have I washed this enough? Have my kids watched too much screen time? I mean, why are we so bad at thinking that we are not doing anything right?
I think a lot of it, we see this pressure on social media, and we're putting way too much responsibility of the outcome on our own shoulders. I mean, let's go back and look even at, you know, at my story. And I had a sibling that has been rebelling since that time and had a very difficult life because of poor decisions. But it would be easy for my mom to say, and she did say, I had to give her some talks about this, you know, that it was her fault. This is all my fault. This person is doing this because of me and I didn't do it right. And I said, well, whose fault is it that I love Jesus? I mean, you can't play it both ways. I mean, it's not your fault for either one of them. And we push way too much responsibility for how our children turn out on our own shoulders. However, that doesn't mean that we don't try our very best to be the best parents, you know, that we can. But, yeah, I think social media, as far as what you're talking about, too, is comparison. And that just mm-hmm. leads us right to that. But I was just like you. I mean, I grew up, went outside, and we had a drainage ditch behind my house, which was just the greatest thing, you know, getting crawdads out of there. And, I mean, we were dirty as could be, and that's probably why we're so healthy, because we were dirty. But, yeah, it's just a different world. But you got to admit, this is a different world that we are raising mm-hmm. children, or that moms are raising children in today, than it was when we were growing up. And mm-hmm. there's a lot more, I think evil is more accessible. Maybe we should say that with the screen time and with the just our culture in general is a lot scarier place to be raising a child than it was when I was growing up anyway, even when my son was growing up, because my son is an adult now. But I do think mm-hmm. that with moms, one reason they feel so badly about what they're doing and am I doing it right is because of so much what they're looking at on social media, and they're seeing what other people are doing, and it's just making them feel like they don't measure up. But we have to remember that what we see on social media is not reality. And mm-hmm. when someone takes a picture of their family, they have probably taken 10 pictures to get the one picture. And people just show their highlight reels when they are looking on social media. And it's very dangerous to start comparing ourselves. I always say the measuring stick will get you stuck. The measuring stick will get you stuck. And then now we've got to deal with the whole generation of children that are growing up with the very same thing. And we see in children today, we talked about this on our last podcast together, that mm-hmm. Children are struggling so much because of social media, increase in depression, increase in mm-hmm. suicide among children. A lot of that is because of comparison and them thinking they don't measure up and their lives aren't as great as what they're seeing on social media. So we've got to be careful about that as mothers, of comparing our lives to what we're seeing with something that is not real. With what we see
it's
our
so
friends
true.
Doing as we see.
We're, we're such hypocrites, Sharon.
I know.
Yeah, well, no, go ahead.
Cheese is a great thing to serve for dinner. I was going to say, when you're talking about looking at organic and this and that, I'm like, macaroni cheese is good. It's a good thing for dinner. So, you know, and I was talking with a young mom the other day who felt so guilty because it was 12 o'clock and her kids were still in their pajamas. I'm like, you know, honey, just think about all that you've done. Don't worry about that. And, you know, but yeah, there's a lot of pressure on moms today to be all and to do all. And that's one reason I wrote this devotion book is, I mean, there's some honest stuff in here. Honest about, you know, we are not going to be perfect. We were never meant to. We can't do it on our own. And again, we're not the totally responsible for every decision our children make. Struggle is a good thing. Them struggling, our own struggles. And you mentioned a messy family. We talked about that in our first session. In the Bible, we see that. I mean, look how the first book of the Bible ended. So we've got Genesis. You mentioned God started out perfect parent and the kids didn't turn out so well. And then we get to the whole last part of Genesis. What is it about? It is about a very messed up family, about Joseph, who was sold by his brothers. So much forgiveness had to go on there. And the first book of the Bible ends with a messed up family and with forgiveness, with Joseph saying, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, that many lives will be saved. You know, we have evil in the world, yes, and we make a lot of mistakes. We're going to make wrong choices, what's done to us and what's done through us by other people. And the enemy, we have an enemy, the enemy of this world, the devil himself, he means it for evil, but God can use all of it, all that struggle for good.
And there's that, but God, again, I love that. And when you read the story of Joseph, you know, the thing I love about it is that it's real too, because it says when he sees his brothers, it's not like he has instant forgiveness in his heart and everything is like a, you know, made for TV movie ending. It says he goes away in private to cry because he's so overwhelmed with emotion and he's got to take a minute. And so I think that's just so real in acknowledging that these things that we wrestle with are so hard, Sharon. And just like you said, we know that what we're posting on social media, you know, we've looked at it and probably if you're really honest, like my kids will give me a hard time. If you're over 40, you've already slapped a filter on that baby. Like you have edited that photo. You have made sure that it looks good. You've edited your caption a million times. You've told the kids, you know, to stop touching each other or fighting with each other. And then you post it and say family time. And somehow we know that ours is not real, but everybody else's is real. And that's just not true. And you know what I would encourage moms to do, Sharon, as we're finishing up this segment here, your devotional, a 90-day devotional, it takes about 5 minutes to read through each one of these devotionals. And we are terrible, I think, as mothers, if we're going to call ourselves out about anything, we're terrible about not finding that time to center ourselves, to pray, to seek strength from another source, to just have that quiet moment where we're being reflective and being grateful and all of the things that we know are good for our mental health. And yet, if you look at our screen time, we had 2 hours to scroll through Instagram, looking at everybody else's perfect family. We can find 5 minutes a day to have a mama moment with God. Well, when we come back, I got a lot more questions for you, Sharon. We're going to talk some more just about the challenges that moms face and how we can deal with things that seem impossible. Don't go away. I'll be right back with Sharon Janes and Mama Moments with God.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Stronger than darkness, new every morn, our sin.
Amen and amen. And don't we need that message? Listen, friend, our sins are many. We mess up every single day, but God, that has been the theme of this show. But God's mercies are more. That comes straight to you from the book of Lamentations, that God's mercy, because of the Lord's great love for us, we are not consumed, but his mercies are new every morning. If you're listening to this in the afternoon, even in the afternoon. And I'm talking today with Sharon Janes. She shared a scripture earlier that I want to go back to from Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And listen, I think that one of the hardest things, no, I don't think, and it's not one of, the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life is being a mama. It is hard. It drives me to my knees in prayer. It is the thing that I just want to do so well. I'm so scared about failing all of the time, and I have just learned to trust God. We're talking to Sharon Janes about her new devotional, a 90-day devotional, Mama Moments with God. And you have time for 5 minutes a day to find some encouragement, to read the words that God has spoken for you through his word and through the message that he has given to Sharon. So Sharon, take us through that struggle. Speak to the mamas who are just struggling and thinking, I know that this is supposed to be, everybody says this is the best time of my life, but you know, through all the diapers and the goldfish crumbs and the minivan debacles and, you know, all of these things, like, it doesn't feel that way. Speak to the mama in that struggle.
Yeah. You know, there's a verse in Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 30, and it says, even youths grow tired and weary, young men stumble and fall. I think there should have been another little part that said, and mamas just feel worn out. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. You know, I think about when my son was about, he was about 5 years old, and it was time to take the training wheels off of his bicycle. And we lived in a cul-de-sac, so it's a perfect place for a little boy to learn how to ride his bike. But we took the training wheels off, and then, of course, we would do what every parent has done through the centuries, and we would hold on to the back of the bike and then let go. And he would do fine until he realized that I had let go, and then he would fall. And he fell several times, and I said, oh, Stephen, don't give up. You're going to learn how to ride this bicycle, and it's going to be the funnest thing you ever do as a kid. Well, on about the 10th try, he fell, and he got up and put his little hands on his hips, and he said, this is not fun, and it will never be fun. And he stomped off into the house. And I thought, yep, I get it. And you know what? We feel like that as moms sometimes, don't we? This is not fun, and it will never be fun. It can be so hard. Just the life is just daily when you're a mom. And what I want to encourage us to do, though, and what happens is, you know, the next day after we're, you know, get through our struggles of maybe being tired of picking up toys on the gym floor, driving to urgent care, washing that third load of laundry in one day, and we think this isn't fun, and it'll never be fun. But then there's one day it comes, and we look at our child's face, and we get back on that, what I call the mother cycle, and we're wobbly
the mother
and tired
cycle.
For sure. But here's what I can promise you, and you might not think this will ever happen, but when you get to the end of this journey and that nest is empty and the rooms are clean, you are going to look back over those years and know that motherhood was the funnest thing you ever did. And have you ever taken a child when you had little children and you go out and you see elderly people, elderly women, and they just, oh, how cute. They're all over, you know, just think how precious. Why is that? I think it's because they're remembering back to when they were a mother. And they're thinking about all those wonderful memories. But I don't want to make it sound like I'm not making little of the being tiredness. Is that a word, tiredness? I'm not making
we
little
just made it
of
up.
That because it is real. We just made it up. It's a good word. But we do get weary and we do get tired, but we just keep pressing on. I tell you one thing that would make me tired when I was in the throes of it. It's when I would work so hard and I just wasn't seeing any results from my work. did you see that? Did you find that struggle? Like, God, throw me a bone. Show me that what I'm doing makes any difference.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I felt that a lot. Show me that I'm making any difference in this little person's life or this teenager's life. But there's a great story about how Chinese grow bamboo. And I read about this some time ago, that first they plant these bamboo seeds in the ground, then they water and fertilize them. They do that the first year, nothing happens. They do it the second year, nothing happens. Continue to water and fertilize, nothing happens. Third, fourth year, nothing happens. But during the fifth year, the bamboo tree grows roughly about 90 feet in 6 weeks. So here's the question. Did the bamboo tree grow in the fifth year in 6 weeks, or did it take 5 years for it to grow 90 feet? Well, the answer, of course, is it took 5 years. Just didn't see anything at first. And that's the way it is with parenting, is it? We work.
It is.
We're trying, we're teaching, and we're not seeing a lot of character growth. It's a slow process, but then all of a sudden we see it. And God shows us that, yes, it is growing. And that's why I love that verse, let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And as a parent, we don't give up. But what I want to encourage the mom listening today, or the grandmother, or anyone who's taking care of a child, just don't lose heart. It will come if we just keep making the next step and the next step. I remember when my son had gone off to college, and he called me one night, and he chatted a little bit, and then I said, well, do you need something? It was kind of like, why are you calling? I said, do you need something? And he said, no, I just wanted to talk and see how you were doing. And I thought, you know, I can't tell you what that did to my heart. I was like, oh, those seeds. There's a man tree now. There's a man tree growing. And it didn't happen overnight, but it did happen. You know, something else going back. This is totally not in the book, but another thing that happened in my heart that night when he said, no, I just wanted to talk. You know, I said, do you need something? He said, no, I just wanted to talk and see how you're doing. I thought, I wonder if that's how God feels when we just connect with him. Not because we need something, but just because we want to talk to him, just because we want to be with him. So just hang in there. Think of the bamboo tree. It'll happen.
Encouraging. You know, I had a very similar experience, Sharon, once when I was visiting Hawaii, and I was in a pineapple field, and it's just red dirt. I mean, it is just yards and yards and acres of just nothing but dirt. And that's when I learned that it takes a pineapple about 2 to 3 years to grow. But yet, the thing that impressed me the most, honestly, Sharon, was that the workers were still out there. They were still taking care of the dirt. They were raking up the dirt. They were watering it because they were expectant. Mm-hmm. They knew what they had planted, and they had confidence in that harvest. And that's just where the Lord reminded me in a tough season of parenting, where planting and harvesting do not happen in the same season. And so just that scripture that you shared, in due season, in due time, that's what we have to wait for. But I think that our kids need to see the confidence in our eyes, that we are confident in the seeds that we are planting, and what they may have as a behavioral struggle does not mean they have a character flaw. It's just something they're struggling with in that season, whether that's, you know, insects that come to the crop, or if it's a dry season, or if it's a rainy season and everything's muddy, knowing that over time God will help you to steward that seed that you have planted. I think that is really powerful for our kids to look in our eyes and not see the question like, are we going to make this through? This, like, are you going to turn out okay? Am I messing up? Just saying, no, we are going to make it through this. And you have a great story in your devotional about this, about a little boy who wanted to stop taking piano lessons, and kind of, you know, we can relate to that when there's things, tasks in motherhood that we want to stop. And there's a great lesson for us in that, in this particular devotional. Share that story with us, Sharon.
I'm going to share that, but I want to say one. I just love what you said so much. I want to piggyback on that. You know, kids need to see us. Our kids need to see that in our own lives. And you and I talked about this earlier, that We need to, when we go through struggles, they need to know that we're struggling and see us come out on the other side. And my son got to watch that as we prayed to have a second child, and God said no. And that was something Stephen had to learn. What do you do when God says no? How are you going to handle it? And I went through years of infertility, and one time I was studying about I was studying the Song of Solomon, actually, and I put my place. I was the bride. Jesus was the groom. And he said, you were the Rose of Sharon. And I thought, huh, that's my name. And I looked it up. And listen, my medical chart said infertile on it. But then the Lord showed me, no, Sharon means fertile valley. That's a fertile valley in the Holy Land. So, you know, God will use those struggles to make us fertile and for him to use that to bless other people, to make us stronger. But let your children know when you are going through a struggle and how God has brought you through. You know, the story you mentioned is about a little boy, a little nine-year-old boy who he was taking piano lessons and he just wanted to quit. He hated piano lessons, but his mom did not want him to stop. So she took him one night to hear a concert pianist named Padawaski. So he got up, dressed up in his little suit and went off to hear this great concert pianist. And once they got there, she started talking to her friends, and he wandered away from her. And he saw this beautiful piano up on the stage, and the light was shining on it. And he sat down on that piano bench on the stage with the light shining on him and began to play, or bang, I should say, the most annoying piano song known to man, which is...
Chopsticks.
That's the winner there. So he's playing Chopsticks, and the crowd is going, who is that little boy? Get him off the stage. What is he doing? Where is his mother? But Padawaski was behind the stage, and he heard what was happening. He heard the crowd, and he put his jacket on, and he ran out there, and then he put his arms around that little boy and began playing a beautiful melody around that little boy's chopsticks. And all the while, he was saying, don't quit. Keep on playing. Don't stop. Don't quit. And I think to myself, what a beautiful picture of motherhood, because there are days when we feel like what we're doing is about as melodious
as chopsticks.
But then Jesus comes and puts his arms around us, and he starts playing a beautiful melody around our simple efforts. And he says the same thing. Don't stop. Never quit. Keep going. So that's what I want to leave as an encouragement today for all the moms listening and those who are listening that are not moms. I want you to picture Jesus with his arms around you, playing a beautiful melody around your efforts, saying, don't stop. Keep doing what I've called you to do. Never give up.
That is a message that I needed to hear today, and I know there are other listeners who need to hear that today, too. And I'm reading, Sharon, from this very devotional that we're talking about, and you said you give this message of encouragement. We were never meant to do this job, the most important job in all the earth, in our own strength. If we try to, we'll end up banging on the piano keys in frustration. Motherhood is meant to be played as a duet with the Father's arms wrapped around us. We do our part. He does his. God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit to do all that he has called us to do. That power is but a prayer away. And I love this application, because then, Sharon, you go on to just tell us to describe what one of our chopsticks days might look like. And then close your eyes and envision God wrapping his arms around all that clanging and banging. And what do you see him doing? I'm telling you, Sharon, this is such an encouragement. And you have time, mamas, in your day. You have 5 minutes for a devotional. And this is a great one to pick up. It is called Mama Moments with God by Sharon Janes. That's JAYNES. You can find her at SharonJanes.com. You can find her on Facebook with her over 100,000 followers and other mamas who are seeking this encouragement. She also has a Praying Wives Club Facebook page that has over 100,000 followers as well. You can jump in there and know that you are not alone and that God has appointed you for this very season, for this time, for such a day and a moment as this. God has made you the mama of your child. And very specially picked that child out just for you because he knows that you can do what he has called you to do together. So in this new book, from middle of the night newborn hours to the tumultuous teen years, motherhood is rewarding but sometimes lonely. Get your copy of this devotional that will help mamas know they are not alone even on their toughest days. They're short daily doses of biblical wisdom, sisterly camaraderie, and encouragement to help us find strength in one another and from our Heavenly Father. Thank you to Sharon for joining us today. I just love hearing from her, her heart of encouragement. And we'll see you here next time. But in the meantime, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord be gracious to you and make His face shine upon you and give you peace as we meet back here together every day looking for hope for healthy families. We can find it. We'll find it together. I'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.